Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast kicks off the week in Nevada. This is going to be a fun week, and today's going to be a fun show, and it's kind of unique because our first guest is actually going to be five different guests. Okay, does that confuse you enough? Our first guest is George Schmidt. He's the CEO and founder of Progressive Artist Management out of Reno, Nevada. He's quite an interesting character and brought us a stable of guests. So we're going to be talking to four different guests and listen to four different artists from around, not only around the country, but we've got a guest coming in from Australia. It's really going to be fun, an interesting twist, the Music America podcast, but similar format. And we'll get with George and talk with him and talk with a couple of his artists in just a little bit. I want to talk, though, about my custom-made, handmade acoustic guitar I've named Margaret. It has the tonal quality of a name-brand high-end guitar. It fits my hand perfectly with a mahogany neck. It glides easily when I play, but what I love most about her is that low-end sustain. Well, she was built for me by Joe Mendel of Joe Mendel's Guitars, www.joemendelsguitars.com. A maple bridge and fretboard, a veneer zircote headstock, but it's the spruce body, I think, that really gives it that resonance, that sustain. It's a beautiful-looking, beautiful-sounding, easy-to-play guitar and custom-made for me from Joe Mendel at Joe Mendel's Guitars, www.joemendelsguitars.com. An interview I've been dying to do since we met, George, and thank you so much for putting this together and putting up with my nonsense and all the craziness I've had to deal with weather and so on and so forth. But George Schmidt, the CEO and founder and genius extraordinaire, entrepreneur extraordinaire. I mean, my gosh, the guy could pick up a piece of wood and turn it into gold, I swear. Tell us about Progressive Artist Management. What got you there? What motivated you to get into it, and what you do with your organization?
Well, thanks. And thanks for having all of us on today. We really appreciate it, especially from the heartthrob of St. Louis. I spent a lot of my time in Peoria, Illinois, just up the road from you. But I ended up running the third largest nightclub in the United States. I was a young guy, but that's how I got in the music business. It was a huge disco, but we continually tried to bring in more and more music. So Gloria Gaynor was our first act, and we sold out two shows, and that was it. We were gone after that. A lot of music. So I had a guy named Bill Carlton, our music director, help me found Progressive Artists. But then we got into concert promotion and a lot of other things, and eventually band management and promotion. And then Bill went and did some other things. He went on tour with Rolling Stones and everybody else. He was a very famous manager on the road. And so I brought it out to California a while back, and to be out here in the thriving scene. And now we have offices up. We have offices up in Lake Tahoe as well, on the Nevada side, right by Reno. And we try to work with different artists around the world. You know, the pandemic was very difficult, shut most people down. One of our artists in Florida, Rob Dexter, who's going to be on later with Kings County, they did not. They were able to keep playing, which was awesome for them. Mm-hmm. But everybody's regrouping and getting their sights and new songs and new music videos. And, you know, you have Rusty Ship coming on, and they won the Josie Award Song of the Year last year. Unbelievable in Nashville.
That's cool.
And Kat Thompson, we're bringing her over from Australia next month. She's going to be here for an extended stay, and we're setting up activities and gigs and events for her right now. And in the other group you have on is all the locals out of Atlanta. We've known Johnny Schmarkey, the head of the group, for a long time. He's a great guy, great singer. So again, we're excited to be on your show and get things rolling here.
Well, it's kind of cool that you've been doing this for so long, and I got to ask this: what keeps the passion?
Well, there's times where the rock world, where I was mostly invested in, you know, had some troubles. We managed a band and invested in them called Vesica Pisces. And we ended up getting them to meet them in Cannes, France, and had a center stage, and then won the LA Music Awards for Adult Contemporary. And then we got him signed to a record deal, and the label was not that good. So we had problems. I just, once you get going in all that, just that's your passion. As I got older, my wife said to me, George, go back to, I did a lot of corporate things as well. Go back to your love, go back to the music and entertainment. And now we own a percentage of Sidewalk's TV. It's a celebrity talk show, bringing in a lot of different music there. We just did the Scorpions. We just did Buck Dharma, Blue Oyster Cult. All these guys you're going to interview have all been on the show. So it was pretty cool. Cat was our first one. So yeah, it's just, it's just once it gets inside you, just you want to bring it to other people. When you see great talent, great, musical compositions and artistry, you want to share it with the world. And that's my job. So that's what we're trying to do.
That's really cool, because that's what I guess what I was going to, like, how would you describe your job passionately, or the passion of your job? And that's it, is like, you really love this. You really love this. You know, it's not just a job. It's not just what you do, man. I mean, you had other corporate gigs that you did, like you said, but you came back to this because of what you do, and you do it very well. And with that, we're going to launch into the first guest you're going to introduce us to, if you would. And it's going to be let's see, no, it's I guess that'd be Rusty and AJ, right?
Russ T. Shipp. The band is named after him because his name is Russ T. Shipp. And Rusty Shipp, we just were together in Nashville not too long ago with his wife, who's his manager, Joyce LA. She's a great gal. And drummer AJ Newton is one of the founders of the band too. And these guys are unbelievable. And again, they're one of the top bands in Nashville in the entire region. And so let's introduce them to you and let's get them on the show.
Right on. AJ Newton and Rusty Shipp, our guests here from the band Rusty Shipp. And gentlemen, welcome and thank you. We're going to listen to one of your songs here in a bit, but I wanted to just get a little background about you. I grew up in St. Louis. I'm a big hockey fan. Okay, huge hockey fan. A good friend of mine from the St. Louis Blues went to work for the Nashville Predators, and for, I guess, 15 years now, he's been saying, get your butt down here to Nashville, but don't plan on leaving, because, with the hockey scene and the music scene, he says you're going to love it. And so I don't know Nashville yet. I've not made it out. I've been to Memphis a dozen times. I've been to New Orleans a dozen times. I haven't made it to Nashville yet once. Where would I see you, and where would what where like if you're putting together a travelogue for musicians to go to Nashville, where would you tell them to make sure you hit these three places? We'll start with you, AJ.
Well, first of all, thanks, Tom, for having us on and George as well. It's been a wonderful working relationship with George for years now, so we're very blessed to have him in our lives. Nashville's a very fun town. Rusty and myself are both not natives of this city or state. I actually moved down from Indiana years ago, and Rusty's from the DC area. But if you're coming to Nashville for some fun stuff, everybody always says go to Broadway, but I would probably suggest, places like the Bluebird Cafe or go visit a show at the Ryman Auditorium, which is the original, mother church of country music and the Grand Ole Opry. But there's a lot of fun holes in the walls. Look for those kind of things like the listening room and stuff like that,
That's
because
the thing I'm looking for, like that. Like, when the first barbecue place I found in Memphis was literally, the gal told me how to get there, was like, you walk down, when you get to the dumpster, you make a left and you go down the alley. But I tell you
If
what,
you're
man,
looking,
best barbecue I ever had. Rendezvous.
some of the best barbecue I've had in Nashville is the Peg Leg. It's an award-winning place that's just south of downtown. I think it's on the southwest side, but it's delicious food. I'm like you, I'm a foodie, so I like to find those little hole in the walls. My favorite restaurant's the Loveless Cafe. It's kind of out in the boonies, about 20 minutes outside of Nashville, but it's amazing, just good home cooking food. So yeah. But it's been a fun experience living in the Nashville area and working in the music industry. Rusty's been a terrific partner, and I'm so blessed to have him in my life and be a part of this journey together.
So, Rusty, how did you guys meet, and how did what George said that AJ was one of the founders, but how did, if AJ is one of the founders, how did this become Rusty Shipp and not Newton's Law or something like that?
I moved down to Nashville from the DC area. It's hard to get a band going in the DC area.
Really? Wow.
It's just people working for the government. It's hard to find somebody, and it's really, really expensive. So it's hard to be a musician there. But so I moved down to Nashville, and I put out Craigslist ads to find musicians, and took a long time, but eventually I found people who could play a show. And we were just throwing around different band names, but my name was Russ T. Ship, and everybody's just like, that's just a good band name though, Rusty Ship. Like, how can you not have a guy named Russ T. Ship and then like not call the band Rusty Ship? So we got that started and slow, humble beginnings. AJ joined the band soon after those early times. And since then, it's just kind of been progressively crafting a sound that's trying to be unique from typical rock bands. Going with the Rusty Ship theme, it's like, well, let's try to make music that's kind of sounds like a rusty ship. What would that sound like? So it kind of sounds like, well, maybe a little bit underwater, and it's kind of grungy and rusty sounding. So it's been evolving ever since. Ever since we founded, we've been just progressively evolving it, the sound and everything.
And do you write all the music, Russ or Rusty? Or does everybody participate? Do you come to a meeting and say, "Hey, I got this idea," or does AJ come up and say, "I got this. What do you guys think of this?" And things build out from there. How do your sounds come together?
Typically, I'm a very, very introverted person. So I usually write just like getting in the zone by myself. And then I'll like write lyrics and music and make some kind of rough demo of a song that I'll bring to the band. And usually that's how it goes. And then I play for AJ and then he puts a drum beat and we kind of figure out the groove of it. And then sometimes, we're messing around at practice with different stuff, and AJ's just playing a beat, and I'm playing random guitar stuff on top of it, and a cool riff comes out. That's kind of actually how our song Neckbreaker was written, was from AJ and I just kind of goofing off, and something just fell out that sounded amazing. We're like, whoa, we gotta record that with our phones real quick.
Man, I couldn't have scripted a better intro than what you just gave me. I couldn't have scripted a better setup than that. That's great because we do have other guests we want to get to, but I want to talk about Neckbreaker because that's the song we're featuring here. Is that becoming a signature song for you guys right now, or?
It's been very popular. We released it just not even a couple of months ago, it
Oh,
seems.
wow.
And it has, I guess for me, it surprised us as to how popular it's become very quickly. Simply because we've had top 10 hits before in the past, for instance, on our last record. However, this is it's a more artistic progressive rock song. It's got a really wonky kind of swingy rhythm to it. Lyrically, Rusty always knocks it out of the park. I mean, it's just a fun song, and we just found out this week it actually hit number 7 on the National Christian Rock Radio charts.
No kidding, huh?
So it gave us our fourth top 10 hit, and just found out today too, it's the number one song on the Blast.fm's radio rotation. So
That's something.
it's fun. It's always fun when you see how well it's resonating with audience. We always say with Rusty's lyrics, and I always say we're trying to help heal the world one song at a time by creating positive, just awesome, catchy rock and roll music. So whenever it does resound with an audience, it warms our hearts. Yeah, it's fun.
And George, let me ask you this: like, these guys write these songs and they put them together. Do you have some say so into this should be your single? This should be released? Like, if they put an album of music together, do they send it to you and you listen to it and say, this is a hit? Or do you just
No,
let
they all of our artists do all their own thing like that.
them?
We just react where we can. And again, the pandemic put us in a hole, but we're climbing out of it very quickly, especially last year and again this coming year. So no, they are the masters of their own fate with their music. We don't interfere at all. We will applaud. That's
No,
okay.
but I get it. I get it. I'm in the same boat
That's
in one regard because people will send me an album and say, pick a song out of here. I'm like, no, it's your music. You pick your song out of there. I'm just a guy that listens to the radio. I'm
Right, right, right.
Cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you. Really looking forward to having you guys on. So then in a few months, we'll be talking with guests from Tennessee, and we're going to feature specifically Rusty Ship as one of our all day long guests. So we'll be in touch again, but thank you for coming on with us here with George and the Progressive Artist Management Group. We're going to leave you guys with hearing your song we just talked about. This is a song called Neckbreaker with the band Rusty Ship from Nashville, Tennessee, here on the Music of America podcast. Rusty Ship from Nashville, Tennessee, here on the Music of America podcast. Our guest today is George Schmidt, the founder and CEO of Progressive Artist Management. We've got a few more of his guests or clients or acts, however you want to call them. He'll be joining us in just a moment. I want to talk about something that happened to me, though, years ago. I was in an accident at work, and I ended up spending a whole month on my stomach when my back wounds were healing. I had scalded and severely burned my lower back. Well, about 2 weeks into the healing, I realized, hey, I haven't had a cigarette in 2 weeks, so I quit smoking. Now, that's a method that worked for me. I don't suggest it to anybody else, though, but thank goodness there's a company located just outside of Fort Lauderdale called Laser Therapy South. Since 2003, Laser Therapy South has helped thousands of people all over the world quit smoking, reduce stress, alleviate chronic and acute pain. Laser Therapy South has developed their own unique approach to tackle both the physiological as well as the habitual components of addiction to help you achieve total success. Laser therapy, it's an acupuncture-based treatment that originated in Canada and Europe about 25 years ago. Your success is measured immediately. Laser therapy is instantaneous, so your treatment date is also your quit date. The laser is sort of a cold or a therapeutic laser. It doesn't produce heat. It doesn't cut tissue. In fact, most clients walk away reporting like having had a massage after treatment. Laser Therapy South, www.lasertherapysouth.com, where all of your questions can be answered. Check them out if you want to quit smoking. Laser Therapy South, where being a quitter is a good thing. And a guy who I would never consider a quitter is George Schmidt, our guest today here on the Music America podcast from Reno. He's the CEO and founder of Progressive Artist Management. How many acts do you actually handle, George?
Well, it does vary, but normally around 24. We have some unique things. We have some comedians. We have one of the top hypnotists in the world. Does a huge comedy hypnotist show,
No
but it's
kidding.
real stuff. His name is Tom DeLuca. He's in Florida. We helped him get going years ago, and he'll do 15,000 people with a show. It's unbelievable. And so then we have one of the top yoga masters in the world, Lola Castillo, out of Buenos Aires.
Really?
And
How do
what
you
we're
find these acts? How do you find something like that?
we I we were in Cabo, my wife and I, one Christmas Eve, and this amazing violinist was playing rock violin, and that was his girlfriend. And he couldn't speak English very well, so she jumped in. Turns out she's the really big artist, And so what we're planning for her, and she's done this, is when you have a festival of blues festival or rock or country or something with thousands of people over a 3 day period, you buy your tickets, and then usually that Friday night everybody gets a little too tipsy, and then Saturday morning they don't start the bands again until noon or one because of the carnage from the night before. And what she does is she comes on as part of the ticket sales and does yoga for the mostly the gals, to be honest with you. But she's done up to 1,000 people. Well,
Oh my God.
she'll do a 90-minute yoga session where the gals and anybody that's doing okay can get a mat, and she leads it from the center stage before the music starts.
My youngest
So.
daughter just got her yoga license in St. Louis, and just to try things out, she had her aunts and uncles and all of us go and do a couple of classes with her. And oh my God, you want to talk about the patience of Job, you know?
I it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But the thing is, there's very good money in this.
Really?
And it's well, where our plans are to bring, she goes up to Beverly Hills and does thing with celebrities all the time, like five people for 2 days, whatever.
Wow.
But this is we're planning to get her in the major festivals, and so that's going to be fun. But other than that, we have single artist Kat Thompson. We're her personal managers out of Australia. She's phenomenal. And then we have she's just next week goes on a tour of Vietnam. They've got 10 days of gigs in Vietnam. We got her a record contract with Chili's Music in Korea, just for the country Korea. That's it. But you'll meet all these people,
Well,
I
yeah, show
hope.
me on a little
So
bit. Why don't we talk about who's up next then? Up
right.
next is Rob Dexter from Kings County. Tell us about them and how you met them.
Well, I knew we were going to talk about Rob, so I was getting a few others in there. But Rob and I met years ago. He was with a band called Kabang, and we would go to Disney World, and of course they had center stages with music. Well, he had the best band, And so I kept going back to Orlando on different things, and I always had to stop in and see Rob and Kabang. And then years later, he started a new band called Kings County, and they have done phenomenal. Rob, I once you're introduced, please tell them about the number of hits you've gotten on your last videos. It's off the chart, no pun intended.
Unintended. No kidding. So let's do that. Rob Dexter, our guest here, in addition to George Schmidt from Progressive Artists, and Rob Dexter from Kings County. Where is Kings County? Where are you guys head? Are you headquartered in Orlando or?
We're in Orlando,
Okay.
but
And
Kings County is actually Brooklyn.
oh, it
That's where
is.
the name came from. Yeah, because
Okay.
the band started in New York.
Okay, because in Florida there is a Kings County. I thought further like south and maybe. I was thinking south of Orlando, more down toward oh, what's the college there? Jeez, drawn a blank. Anyway, it's kind of in the middle of the state. I thought there was a Kings County there.
I know there's a King County
Maybe that's
in
it.
I think it's Washington, the
Okay.
state of.
Oh,
But
okay.
yeah, we're all originally from New York.
What brought you to Florida?
Disney.
Oh.
Yeah, we got an offer outs gig. And we were there. We had like maybe a 6 month contract
Yeah.
and we never left. We were there for 8 years.
Wow. Well, you
So
had to have been doing something right in New York for somebody from Florida to
Oh
fly.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, we were playing in Vermont.
Oh, you're kidding. Is that the snow
Hey,
gig we were talking about?
in no, it was at Mount Snow.
Mount Snow. That must be
Yeah,
south. 'Cause that,
south.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and somebody from
I didn't get much past Woodstock, I guess. I didn't get much further south than that, you know,
gotcha.
Manchester. Yeah.
Actually, a funny story about Woodstock. I got a ticket for speeding in Woodstock. I was doing 25 and a 20.
Yeah. I got the same thing in Burlington.
Oh my God. A 25 and a 20.
25.
I couldn't believe
Well,
it.
see what now in Burlington, college town, right? And the city speed limit is 20. Well, I just moved there from Missouri and I found out from the cops what they do is it's a great opportunity to get the kids that are just that's the justification, of course, you know, is that well, you know, these kids, you know, they're out drinking and driving and they think they can do it. So if we catch anybody going over, and we can't just isolate, you know, target the kids, we have to pull over everybody because it's amazing how many kids they'll end up getting off the streets because they're doing 25 and a 20 and they'll test them and they've been drinking or whatever. And then, you know, so I get it on the umbrella of safety first, it works, but you know, I just
Well, I
didn't
don't
like
know
having to pay
how
a ticket.
doing 25 and a 20 is really speeding, but whatever, you
It's
know?
the law.
Yeah.
But I said that to the cop too. He goes, "Well, it's the speed limit. It's not the speed starting point." And I've been using that phrase for years myself, so I had to shut up. At that
And it
point,
was funny because the police officer, he was like 80, and he was asked, "Oh, I gotta ask you, are you in the military?" I had hair down to my waist. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm undercover."
yeah, everybody calls me Sarge.
Like, "Oh, okay."
I'm in the military. I got a major problem with cops.
That's it. Oh my
So
goodness.
who's in Kings County? Let's your mates aren't here with you. Let's hear who's in the band.
Sure, it's Steve Bell, who sings also and plays guitar. Joe Lopez is our drummer, and Bill Kenya is our other guitar player.
And you all met up in Brooklyn.
The only one who isn't is Joe. We met him down here. We
Okay.
had a different drummer.
Boy, isn't that something? So I've met so many bands that lose drummers.
Yeah, what's with drummers?
Don't know, man.
I don't know.
You know, I guess because they're tired of all the jokes, you
Well, I'm
know.
sure George remembers our old drummer.
Yeah, who?
Yes.
Well, we just lost one of our drummers. In fact, one of the guys who half of his kit is still set up in my basement downstairs. He just moved back to Florida where he moved to St. Louis. He met my sister about 30 years ago. Fell in love with her, moved up here. They broke up, but he stayed up here ever, he's been like a cousin of mine ever since. And he's retired now. So he's always said he's going to retire back in Florida. So he just moved back last week, you know. But we lost a drummer in the process. And then so the
Wow.
jokes all came out, you know, last time we got together, all the jokes about, you know, what do you call a drummer that broke up with his girlfriend? Homeless.
Homeless?
Yeah.
I
How you get your
think
drum.
there's a slight truth to it.
Yeah.
Oh,
That
yeah.
actually wouldn't in Roger's case there kind of was for a while. Funny.
Yeah,
So
this is our fourth drummer.
yeah.
believe it or not.
If I drive into Florida and I see you guys playing someplace, where will I find you playing?
We play, you know, Florida is a really big state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you drive from the Panhandle down to the Keys, it's easily a 12-hour drive.
Yeah.
So we play from the Panhandle all the way down to the Keys. Probably our favorite place to play is called AJ's, and that's in Destin.
Okay.
Beautiful area. Beautiful beaches. You get a lot of the people from Alabama, Georgia, Texas, all go there. Yeah. And it's a wild place. Great venue.
My brother and his wife go to Destin every other year with three other couples. And we went there once. We go to St. Pete every February because my birthday is on the 13th and Valentine's Day is the 14th of February. So we go for a birthday Valentine's Day, and we usually stay in St. Pete or Clearwater, but we try and stay in St. Pete. We went to Destin one year, and it was the coldest February I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow.
It was horrible. And I guess coldest February in Florida would probably be more accurate because I'm in a minus 10 degrees weather.
Right.
In
it St. was Louis. Probably what, like 60?
Oh, no. It was like in the 30s.
Upper
30s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really bad. Like, and you know, you leave Vermont to go. This is what we do. The snowbirds go to Florida for a couple of weeks just to break up that 6-month winter that we have that begins in Halloween and ends on Memorial Day, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah, this venue is more seasonal.
Yeah.
So you play anywhere from March to October.
A good year for a lot of bands is doing 100 to 150 shows. That's playing every Friday, Saturday. Okay.
Right.
How many shows a year do you think you guys do?
Easily over that. We usually play 3-4 nights a week.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
There's a lot of venues in Florida. You know, if you're willing to drive, there's a lot of coastland where you can. There's always a venue on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of venues for live music.
Is that where I'd be more likely to see it? Then I'm not going to see it like at a winery. I'm not going to see it mic night at a bookstore.
I mean, we've done some weird shows in the past.
Yeah.
I think we played in a bowling alley. We've done some.
I don't know anybody that hasn't. I don't know anybody that hasn't done a bowling alley. That's funny. And in Nebraska, there's actually a bowling alley that's kind of an iconic place to play. I can't remember the name of it. I was just talking to somebody about it last week, and they said, if you're playing at such and such bowling alley, that's kind of like a sign that you've made it in Nebraska.
Yeah, we played a venue in Malden, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And half of it was a bowling alley, and the other half was a rock club. It was like the weirdest thing.
Figured out. That's something. So we got to get you up to Nectars, play Nectars up in Burlington. It's a great place for a band like you. You guys would really kill it up there. Yeah.
We used to play a place called Rira.
Rira. Yeah. Yeah. Rira is, I don't think they're around anymore. Rira now is a festival, though. I think they have the Rira festival they have, and it might be part of the Maritime thing that Grace Potter puts on every year. But I missed it, but I remember people talking about Rira. I've only been up there 9 years. So, but Rira's it's certainly a name.
That's well, a great
tell me about the song So Cold, because that's what we're going to talk about. That's the song that you're presenting to us today. Where's that come from? What's it about? And who wrote it and all that?
Sure. Well, myself and Steve, the guitar player, wrote it together.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics are, you know, real life is a great way to write music and lyrics. And So Cold is about probably one of my past relationships that didn't really go well. And, you know, you learn a lot from what you've been through. And So Cold, you know, I'm not going to name any names.
Right.
But
thank you.
It was a real life experience. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Does it ring true still? The sentiment behind it still ring true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, over years, I think maybe you get a little more bitter. But, you know, you got to move on.
Yeah. So I used to tell my kids I like my coffee like I like my women, you know, a little tan and real bitter.
No, but I think, you know, when you go, your real life experiences make great songs.
Yeah. Yeah. and share it with the people. You throw it out there and say, this is what I got. And if you love it or hate it, whatever, it's what I got. I'm sharing this with you. That's
anytime
cool.
Someone can relate to something you've been through,
right?
You know, they'll connect.
That's awesome. That's a great gift. You know, I think the muse kind of floats around in the universe and looks for openings when you're writing. And like, you might sit down to write, the muse goes and swoops in and helps you write.
Yeah.
And my gate has been closed for decades. You know, she just flies by and looks at me and goes, Well, with that, the band is called Kings County. One of the guests that we have with us from Progressive Artist Management, George Schmidt, our real guest, our primary guest, I guess, here on the Music America podcast. The song we're going to listen to with Rob Dexter and the band Kings County. The song is called So Cold, here on the Music of America podcast. Podcast continues, and our guest today is George Schmidt, and we've got a couple more of his guests coming your way, because George is out of Reno, so we're talking to Nevada this week, and George has guests from all over the country and all over the world, and one of his guests, Kat Thompson, is joining us all the way from Australia. We'll talk with her in just a moment, though. It's really this simple. You buy Kitty's litter box. You open the box. You place litter in the box. You introduce the box to your cat. After your cat has done their business for about a month or so, you just close the box and throw it away. That's it. You just close the box, grab the handle of this biodegradable box and throw it away. It's perfect for traveling with your favorite feline. It's affordable. It's convenient. It's the one thing I didn't like about cats. And who knows, if Kitty's litter box were around, I might still have cats these days, because I'm the one that had to clean the litter box. But now with Kitty's litter box, no big thing, right? So who knows? Anyway, I might have cats. If it was around today, it's around today. So check it out. Kitty's Litter Box, www.kittyslitterbox.com. Order today. It's perfect. That's my pun just for you. And George is shaking his head no. Like, how dare you pun me this hour of the day. George Schmidt is our guest here. And George, again, the company, you're the CEO and founder of Progressive Artist Management out of Reno. You do a great job of putting a lot of talent together from all over the world. And one of the guests you're going to introduce us now is Kat Thompson from Australia.
That's correct. In fact, maybe we should get Kat Thompson to be a sponsor for Kitty's Litter Box.
Oh, there we go. Oh, my God. How did I miss that? How did I miss that?
Hi, come on.
That's great.
So we have, you know, we have Kat and we have the infamous Johnny Schmarkey out of the Atlanta, Georgia area.
Yeah,
and I've worked with both of these great artists for quite some time. So excited to have them on your show. We appreciate it.
How'd you come up with Kat? How did you meet her?
We met about 6 years ago on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Because she looked.
This is audio only, but she looks like she's about 16. So what was she?
Well, 10? I know she's going backwards. She's going to be in diapers soon. I mean,
well, same here, but I'm
something's going on. But we got together. We met her mate, as she calls it, James Dean, is a top hip hop dancer in Australia. We met him in Burbank, had coffee. Uh-huh. And then the relationship just kept going. And then we ended up being her personal managers now. So she's a great gal. We're bringing her over to the States very, very quickly. And we're lining up opportunities for her right now.
Oh, cool. Well, with that, let's welcome her to the podcast, Kat Thompson. Where in Australia are you from? Are you Melbourne, Sydney?
But I'm originally born in Brisbane, but I'm living in Byron Bay at the moment.
Byron Bay, yeah. How's the seafood?
I'd say it's good, but I'm actually allergic to seafood.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, no. How horrible.
So I can't tell you.
That's so funny. Years ago, I raised my kids in a Catholic, all-girls Catholic school. And for their senior trip, they could either go with the class or they could do something else. And my youngest daughter wanted to go to see the Pope, who was in Australia at the time. This is, whatever, 15 years ago something like that. So we set her down there and she had a host family and she's still in touch with them. And one of my favorite pictures, it's like she gets off the plane, gets in a car, gets to their house and meets a kangaroo. There's a kangaroo like in her first hour of being in Australia. It's so cool. And you can't script it any better. So tell us about you. You sing, you play fiddle or violin, as we were discussing off camera. Do you play other instruments?
Yeah, I play piano. I play guitar. Yeah.
Okay.
I play harmonica.
Yeah. Is your family musical or is it just something?
No, just me. I was the weird one in the family.
How did you find this love and this affinity and this passion for music?
I actually think I've been singing for as long as I can remember. And I was, my mum actually says that I was that annoying child that just, if there was a noise, I would mimic it. Uh-huh. There was a cartoon on or an advertisement and a jingle, I'd be sitting there mimicking it as a child. So I was one of those noisy little squeaky children that just liked. So as far as I know, I've always liked sound and audio. And so, it was a natural gravitation.
Did you grow up listening to certain artists? Did your mom and dad influence you? Like, have you listened to Motown or listened to like classic rock music or country or anything like that? Artists, anybody in particular?
Because I'm half Filipino. So Filipinos, as a culture, we love music. So there was like everything available music-wise. Filipinos love everything from, you know, like your Elvis all the way through to, you know, your Whitney Houston's and like you name it. They would play it. I grew up with karaoke. I grew up with aunties all getting up and singing and dancing, so it's just part of the culture. It was very easy to access music as a kid,
right?
Because within the Filipino culture itself, there's just so much music and dance available.
My best friend went to the islands 15 years ago or whatever, and he said, you gotta go. He said, but go single, because the way you sing, it says you'll have women throwing themselves at you. I'm like, not this. I mean, it might be throwing themselves out of the way of me, you know, but but that's what he was saying. He's like, karaoke was just so huge. And you know, if you could sing half as well as most of the people that were up there, they were just nuts about you. They thought all the Americans were, everybody was a rock star. You know, I'm like, wow, maybe I should go just to check it out. So it's
You
nice.
should
That
go. It's a
inspired
beautiful
me.
country.
Oh
It's
yeah.
definitely a beautiful country. You definitely should visit.
I've heard that that's the, according to him, he says that's the epitome of nice place to visit. Wouldn't want to live there. You know?
Oh, it's people are beautiful. The food is beautiful. Like you'll have an absolute blast if you go, definitely.
Yeah. So back to you. So you started singing out on your own. Was that a high school thing? Did you get into college, or how did you decide to start becoming a performer?
So I actually wanted to be a singer since I was little. So I actually started writing my own songs when I was
Oh,
about,
wow.
well, I actually I was an I had problems actually because like I started off with I wanted to play piano and my parents were like, all right, because I badgered them for so long. They put me into piano lessons when I was six. And then instead of doing the actual lessons, I was more interested in writing my own compositions. And so I would go into my lesson and the teacher, my piano teacher would say, well, what have you show me what you've practiced this week. Have you done the homework? And I'd say, no, I haven't, but I wrote this bit. Can you listen to what I've written? And so she's like, that's great, but you need to do your homework. And I was like, yeah, that's great, but can you listen to my composition? So I was writing stuff at six, not understanding that that was something you could do as a career or anything, just because I just enjoyed it. I really loved creating on the piano. And then when I was nine, I then sort of realized you could put poetry, because I loved writing poetry. You could mix that with music. And so I started applying poetry that I'd written to melodies that I played on the piano, trying to combine the two things. And then eventually I realized, oh, you can actually, that's actually songwriting. So that's how you do it. And so I've been doing it since I was very little and just sort of just started playing and experimenting. And I think that's the joy of being a child and not having fear when it comes to, like a lot of people, when you, as you get older, you go, oh, I don't know if I could try that. I've never done that before. As a child, you don't have any of those fears. You just dive right in.
Yeah, as a grandfather of five, you know, I get to see that still. My youngest granddaughter is not even a month old, and right now she's just in awe
Nice.
of everything. You know, it's like, Dayla, look, this is my hand. You know, and she's just enamored with Papa's hand. So yeah, I know what you mean. That's great. So when did you perform live? When did you actually say, Mom, I want to, Dad, whatever, I want to go out and perform in front of somebody? What was your first public appearance, and what did it take to get you to do that?
As in like performing by myself or, part
Yeah,
of a school
let's look at
thing.
that. Let's look at that, because that's where you are
Well,
now as a solo performer, right?
I had actually a really rough upbringing because my dad actually did not support music at all. It was very much like, very much a no, you're not allowed to do music, you're not allowed to perform, you're not allowed to do any of that sort of stuff. Very much a you must be academic. And so I wanted to sing, and there very luckily was a Filipino community around in Australia where they were quite happy to have young people get up and do performances and keep people entertained. So because my mom was part of that community, I could go to those sort of things with her. And because I was there, obviously out of eyeshot of dad, there was always a microphone available. So I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And
Oh,
mom was
cool.
like, not thinking anything of it. She was like, yeah, we'll get up. You can go do
Wow.
it if you want. There's a microphone and there's music playing, off you go. And so the community is actually very supportive around music and dance. So they were like, yay, kids getting up and singing. That's great. Get up there and perform. And so I would just keep getting up because I really enjoyed it. But it did cause a lot of tension within the family because my dad actually realized after a while that I was getting up and performing, and mum was like, she does it on her own, and he was not happy with that. But yeah, I was very young and I was getting up there and just grabbing the mic and be like, yeah.
When did you do
So
your first paid gig, I guess?
I was 13, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, off the top of my head. I was again very lucky. The community has a lot of things like Miss Philippines pageants and stuff. Like we're talking, the actual, the ones that go on to become Miss Universe.
Right.
So events like that, they would need halftime acts, and so I was at one of these things, and they were like, "Oh, we need a performer," and I was like, "I'll get up." So I got up and performed. So I got up and performed, and they were like, "Oh, your daughter can actually, put notes together. She's not half bad." And they were like, "All right, well, we'll get you for next week." And so then from there, people would see me in the audience, and they were like, "Well, we've got this other event happening in a week from now. How
Can you do
much
this? Can you do this?
can you do this? Can you do that? And how much will it cost for us to hire you?" And my mum went, "You'll pay her for this stuff? All right."
How
So
funny.
from then, I was gigging every single weekend
Wow.
from the age of 13.
Oh my.
And that's actually where the contention happened, because Dad realized that I was out there gigging and Mum was facilitating.
So how did
I mean,
Dad react when you walked home with your first paycheck? Or
yeah,
cash
he
envelope or
wasn't
whatever, you know?
still not happy. Yeah, and never was. So, but it is what it is, Family's family. You
So
get.
where are you now on that? Because we're talking about early in your career. Where are you now? Like you're at this level then, and now you're way up here and you're traveling to the States. I mean, you've hooked up with a big name promoter like George, and that's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm actually leaving next week for a tour in Vietnam.
Oh,
So I'll be
wow.
doing, so my first time doing shows in Vietnam. So it'll be really cool. Never been to Vietnam before, so I'm excited for the music, I'm excited for the food, and apparently the people are beautiful, so I can't wait to meet them.
Yeah, so is the seafood, but it doesn't matter because you can't eat
Yeah, I think
it,
I'm definitely going to have to learn a little bit of Vietnamese to say at least, I'm allergic to seafood, or
right?
otherwise I'll probably end up, have you seen Hitch? And
Oh
they
yeah,
end up with
absolutely,
the,
yeah.
yeah, and he has the seafood. Yeah, that's
Well,
me.
just get a straw and a bottle of Benadryl, you'll be fine. Just walk
That's
around.
it.
Well, we've got a song of yours we're going to listen to, and then we're going to talk. Well, George, you said you're bringing her over to the States. When will she be coming over here?
Well, we originally planned in February, but we're trying to get some extra support for the release of one of her newest singles and music videos. She's got three in the can, and they're all fantastic. So we're lining up support. We have a couple record labels we're talking with. So we're not quite sure. It might be March or April, it may even be May, but we got to get the single, the one of these singles launched first. And then we have a complete release plan, which Kat wrote. I mean, talk about, she's like a mathematician, though, aside from being a great artist. She's so, I said, "You should really be an attorney." Well, she's like, "Well,
Well,
maybe someday, you know."
that'll make her dad happy.
Right. So, but we really want her over here anyway. We have so many people wanting to see her perform live and just try to help. I mean, she's a, she's a sweetheart. She really is, and as you can tell. And so, well, it's going to be, we have to make sure it makes sense, the exact timing, so we don't want her sitting around. So.
When you're playing, Kat, when you're playing in Australia, you're playing in Vietnam, whatever, are you playing at a club of 500 people? Are you playing in an auditorium of 20,000? Or what if I roll into town and I see Kat Thompson's name on a marquee, what's the venue going to be that I'm going to see you at?
Honestly, it depends. It really depends on the event. Depends, like I've done festivals, and I've also done very more intimate shows. We're performing for the Tet Festival over in Vietnam, and I have no idea how many people are going to be at that. But that's Lunar New Year over there
A
for them.
billion. There'll be 1 billion people there.
It's going to be massive.
You'll be playing in front of an audience of 1 billion people. Not to intimidate you or anything.
Great. If I wasn't nervous already.
Now we do have a song. We've got another guest we want to get to, so I want to talk about your song. And we do have a song of yours called "If I Go." It's not just you. You've got other people singing on this. Tell me about the song, and tell me about your guests that are on the song with you.
It was myself and three DJs. who combine together. They obviously do production as well, and I also do music production. So we combine together the composition of the song itself, the melodies and the sorry, not the melody, yeah, the underlying melodies and these everything else. The three boys got together. I shouldn't say boys, three gentlemen got together, and they did that. And then we were back and forth because they're in Peru. And so they
Oh,
con
wow.
yeah, and so they contacted me and said, "Oh, we love your voice. We'd love for you to jump on this. Could you write something to it?" And I said, "Yeah, this sounds great." And so we went back and forth on a few little tweaks here and there, and I wrote the lyrics and the top melody for it, and then obviously I sang the vocals, and I recorded in my studio. We bounced the stems back and forth, and yeah, and we created If I Go. So.
And If I Go features you and whom?
So it features myself, my brain now today,
It's all right. It's
Marai,
early in the morning for
funny
you. It's like,
name.
yeah, Mauro
Yep,
Fernando, right? Or Ferdinand.
Marai, Lake Sick, and oh my gosh, my
Mauro
brain.
Ferdinand.
Yes. Sorry, my
So
brain today.
the one I could pronounce is the one I got. The other ones, so it's Lake Sick, Mariah,
Yeah.
and Mauro Ferdinand, and of course our guest
Yeah.
here, Kat Thompson from Brisbane Bay, Australia. Right? Did I say it right?
Byron Bay.
Byron. Okay, sorry. That's close. That's close.
That's okay.
And the song, If I Go, here on the Music of America podcast. Thompson and Company, we'll say, because I'm not going to try and pronounce all those names, people with her, and the song If I Go here on the Music of America podcast. We're in, well, I keep saying Reno, but it's really not Reno, right, George? You're in
Incline Village,
Incline
Nevada.
Village, yeah, in
Even
Incline
better.
Village, Nevada. And I've been hearing all this week, it's not Nevada, it's Nevada. I've been calling it Nevada. And boy, I tell you what, I've been slapped upside the head verbally by calling it Nevada.
I make the same problem, same mistake.
So, George is the CEO and founder of Progressive Artist Management in Nevada, Reno, whatever. It's easier to just say Reno. And he's brought us all the guests we've listened to today. We've got one more coming our way from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, Johnny, we want to have you on season three when we get to Georgia and have you take an entire show just for
Yeah, we could do that. We
all the
could,
locals. And we'll set that up with George. So, George, why don't you introduce us to Johnny and all the locals?
Well, we came across all the locals years ago, and everyone we had listen, said the same thing, that Johnny Schmarke is probably the best male vocalist on the planet. And that carries a lot of weight. But that's everyone still today says he is. But he's a great songwriter. He leads the band. He's got a great guitar player named Ty, who's a guy. They were all out here in LA, and one of the guys that we know, Joe Bellotta, who's since passed away, unfortunately,
Oh, really? Huh.
last year had a
Oh, I
great
didn't know that.
recording. He had a great recording studio, and he brought him in, and he said, "I want these guys back. They can play for 10 days straight, no charge." So that kind of set the stage for a lot of things. But Johnny's back in Atlanta. They're just outside, and they sell out all through that region. But they play a lot in Alabama and the Carolinas. And because of the pandemic, we were prevented from getting them on tours. But now things are opening up, as we talked about before, Tom. And we're going to get a lot of interest. They're a great R&B band, but they appeal to all different types of ages, which is really something. So, Johnny, I'll let you explain yourself. There you go.
Yeah, man, we had man, where do I even start? So we've been a band since 2012, and it's been an amalgamation of a few things, but Ty and I and Nikki have been the key people behind it. We've man, I don't even know where to start. Last year was such a killer year. You mentioned Night Ranger earlier. We were on Night Ranger's 40th anniversary tour
Oh,
in
wow.
June. We were in KC and the Sunshine Band's 50th anniversary tour last May. We played with Better Than Ezra, Vertical Horizon, all last year. We headline a lot of festivals and a lot of city municipality like amphitheater shows. And then we do a lot of gig. We do a lot of club shows and then like niche-y special event sort of shows. Like some of my favorite shows are the 100 people, 150 people for like Day of the Dead, Halloween and stuff like that. But man, we had a killer year. We've teamed up with some pretty cool booking agents and stuff, and they put us in front of a lot of people. And we man, I like, for instance, the Night Ranger show or the KC and the Sunshine Band show last summer, there was some of the biggest crowds we've ever played for. Then again, we played with a National Queen tribute act
Oh,
that it
wow.
had even more, a Bruno Mars tribute act. So it depends on what we do, but we also can get up there and we can play for 2.5 hours if we need to. And it's all, we played like 95% original music. And then we'll throw in, some fun offbeat covers and stuff. Man, I don't even know where to start right now.
Well,
But
let's go with that. Let's go with that reimagined music, I call it. Like when you do your version of, let's say, Sister Christian or whatever.
oh wow, yeah. That
Name
was
a
amazing
name,
seeing that live.
name name a
Behind.
song. Name a song that all the locals do.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Okay, so this one's been doing really, really well. So we do kind of like a so Tom, we have a horn section, right? And we have a trombone, sax, and a trumpet on top of, keys, bass, drums, guitar, blah, 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 and male, female singing. So we can really do anything you want us to do. But we've been doing Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, and I swear that is like, God, I wish I wrote, but we've been doing kind of like a
R&B-ish version of it, like a slower, and then it
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
builds up, and by the end of it, the crowd is like literally dancing in front. Honestly, I think some of those tricks that we do are the reason why we get booked a lot. Like George was saying, we can play for really any demographic and
Yep.
really any age, and it shows in a lot of our shows that you have kids and you have old folks dancing with each other, and it's amazing to see
How do
it.
you have time to learn new stuff, dude? You it seems like you're always busy. You're like, you're doing all these
God,
shows, you
yeah.
got all of
Well,
this, and you got kids, you got just the drum kit I'm looking
yeah, I
at
got
behind
one
you.
kid.
You got
Yeah, I mean, well, a lot of things are geared around music. Like, for instance, last weekend we were off, so we went to see a show. We actually went to see an Elvis tribute show, with some friends and stuff. But a lot of, honestly, man, my whole life has just been kind of geared around music, and it's my passion, even if I didn't play it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I know a lot of musicians, and I've played with a lot of artists, so learning from them and taking influence from them is always really cool. And then I just love the history of music, and I'm really interested in all that as well. But how do I have to there's you know what? It
Is
is
your
tough.
family musical?
I was watching a Beatles interview, an old Beatles interview with Ringo Starr, and he was saying that if it weren't for Paul, a lot of them wouldn't have been like they were not workaholics like Paul. So me and a couple of the other guys in the band are pretty workaholic. So we have to remind ourselves to kick our butts back into gear. And what we do is we have our schedule of shows, and then we have just separate sessions where like we're just there to write new music, or we need to learn some covers or something. Something new that might shake the crowd up a little bit. So you just gotta be good with like scheduling and all that boring stuff.
Do you have
And
a
it makes
writing?
the art fun. The art will come out if you're organized, I
Do you have
swear
a
it will.
writing process, Johnny? Do you have like
Yeah.
when you sit down to write, do you set time aside and say, honey, leave me alone, I'm writing today?
Kind of. She'll like take the kid to the park or something. I'll have friends come over, or most of the time I go to a studio and write. And honestly, man, lately I don't really write a lot of lyrics up front. It's mainly just jamming and coming out with cool stuff with a band. And because things aren't set in stone until you record them, right? And then I will go back and write to it. I actually find that more fun lately. I used to write songs and then we'd put the music to it, but lately the most fun is just organically coming up with something like a chemistry with a group of people. There's nothing better than that. It is the coolest high you'll ever have, I swear. And then we'll kind of just BS the lyrics, and then we'll go back and write them and like set it in stone. That's
That's
kind of the process lately,
that
honestly.
Let It Be. Have you seen that Let It Be documentary on Disney by the
Yeah,
Beatles?
dude, I've seen it all, man. I'm
Yeah.
such a nerd for all that.
I mean,
And
that's
you know
a
what?
classic
It's
example of
the
what you're
Get
just
Back.
talking, classic example of what you're just talking about, though. The song, what is it? Yesterday originally was
Yeah.
Scrambled Eggs. They didn't have the
Yeah.
lyrics. So he's like, Scrambled Eggs, oh my gosh, you've got such sexy legs, is what
Yeah.
John suggested
Paul
until
Paul's a
he.
big cook. He's a big he loves to cook.
Yeah.
He's always yeah, and yeah. But I'm a dude. Honestly, the Get Back thing though, all 8 hours of that kind of it didn't like I'm such a fan of the Beatles that
Yeah.
it kind of I didn't really want people that don't know the Beatles, I don't want them to see that first. You
Right.
know, I don't want the smoke and mirror. Like every band goes through a lot of like I said, we've been a band since 2012, like when George first met us and first helped us out and stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that is involved with bands that people have no idea, and it's really, really cool and really lucky to have the chemistry to succeed and to last through all the BS. Because, and it's not really always the band and the members itself; it's the people around it and it's the environment. There's a lot of things that can make people be like, "Dude, I don't want to do this anymore." You've got to have the love for that, but. We have somehow And even like when you say, oh, it's a family. Yeah, it is a family, but like, and you still have problems with your family or your best friends. But like, we have just somehow overcome a lot of obstacles. Because, man, we've literally played, we've played all over the country. And we've played every sort of gig you can for one person or like literally 5,000 people, 10,000 people for the Peach Drop with Ludacris, blah, blah, blah. But like, we have played every sort of gig on a flatbed trailer to an amphitheater, and there's always something awesome about it, or there's always something that's annoying about it. Like Night Ranger, for instance, when we played with Night Ranger, that was an awesome gig, fun having dinner with them. They were very nice, but like we didn't. It took us like 2 hours to park our trailer. You know, like we're like next to their massive, you know, semi truck. You know, little things like that that can really annoy a group of at that budget of the gig was 8 people. You know, depending on the budget, depending on the gig, we have 5 people or we have our horn section as well, 8 people. So there's a lot of logistics. A lot of people never talk about the logistics. I'm rambling right now, but a lot of people don't
Yeah,
talk
I'm
about
trying
the
to reel you in, but I
logistics.
don't know how to break in here.
Yeah, sorry, man, I could talk.
So
I'm
let's
just
do this.
weird.
Let's do this. Let's do this.
Go ahead.
Let's not get into how we make sausage. Let's get into the sausage itself. Let's talk about the song Miss. That's the song we're
Okay.
going to highlight here. You wrote this,
Yeah.
and what's it about, and where did it come from?
Yeah. So it's kind of a playoff. We did we man, we randomly do really well in Mississippi, Tupelo, like Elvis's birth, you know, places like in Memphis. So it's about a trip to Mississippi, right? And we're on the Mississippi River in Memphis, right? And we met this really cool girl. And it's just like it's kind of, the song is kind of a metaphor about things. Sometimes in life you fall in love with things that are going to last 10 minutes or 10 years, whatever. So it's just kind of like the Mississippi River, like you'd be on a good place on the river, a cool view, but that water is going to just keep flowing. It's only going to last. You better take it in. You better enjoy it while it lasts because, you know, some things you fall in love with in life do not last forever, whether that's a dog, a wife, or a view of a vacation trip or a good show or something. But
The
so the
beauty of
song is kind of like,
a fresh baked pretzel.
oh my God, I love pretzels and I love mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right about
But
that.
that's what you're talking about. It's those
Yeah.
very Zen moments that all of a sudden you got to grab it, or
Yeah, and that pretzel is only going to stay hot
that's
for
right.
like 2 minutes. So
So the song
that.
Miss then is not just Miss like this young lady, but it's also Mississippi and the Mississippi River,
Yeah.
and really it's the moment
Yeah, it's like
when
the
all of
miss
those.
of the lady, the miss of the river, the
Yeah.
miss of the state, and just kind of like how that blissful moment is only going to last. She's moving on, man. She's going to New Orleans,
But
like you were
really,
saying earlier.
though, it's not, because now that you sing about her, when you every time you sing that song, you kind of miss that moment.
Correct. Yep. So it's about that. And it's kind of random that I chose that song. I'm sorry. There's a lot of songs I could have
Yeah,
chosen, but
that's all right. That was
I
a good
just,
one.
that one's been, it's been doing pretty well. And I like that song. It's kind of chill or whatever, but
Yeah.
you know, it features some horns. It features some vocals and guitar and kind of rhythm and stuff. So,
Yeah. Well, we're going
yeah.
to listen to it right now. So it's All the Locals and Johnny Schmarke
Yeah.
written, and I guess your lead vocals on this, right?
Yes.
Okay. All the Locals and our guest, of course, George Smith, who brought us All the Locals here on the Music of America podcast.
Cheers to George.
Well, they're calling this. We've been over this.
bottle of rain. We'll flow farther over everything. We've been over this, and that's why I called a Mississippi. 'Cause she don't flow to me. We were 14 blocks off the bayou. Whoa, mountain mama had a Delta dream, and that's why. And that's why.
Johnny Schmarkey and a band, all the locals here are on the Music America podcast. I want to say each of them have been our guests, but our real guest has been George Schmidt, who painstakingly put this whole thing together. And you said it so well. And those of us at music know exactly what you mean by herding cats, because just right. With one band, it's chaotic sometimes. And you were able to do this with not only four artists, but one of the artists that lives on the other side of the world. So kudos to you, man, for putting this together. Really appreciate it.
Now, Thank you.
This is the last segment of the show, and we call it shameless self-promotion. So be shameless and promote, because that's what you do.
Well, we, again, thanks again for having our folks on. And we have quite a few others, by the way, that I think would be worthy of your show. From Ignacent in Chicago to Abby Scott in Hollywood, and Axis Five in Roanoke, Virginia. Amazing band. So we got a lot going on there. We love what you're doing. You've done it. I think you do a great job. You got a great listenership. And as we keep growing and putting things together, we're looking forward to working with you in the future. And again, you always got a place to stay in either Laguna Beach or Lake Tahoe at our places. And we'll take you around and show you some good music.
That'd be great. Now tell us about one more time, like if an artist that's listening to this, they want to get in touch with you, they want to be a part of the team, I guess, Progressive Artist Management. How does one go about doing that?
Well, they can send us an email at George@progressiveartistmanagement.com.
Okay.
George@progressiveartistmanagement.com, our website, www.progressiveartistmanagement.com. There's a contact section on there as well. They can send to us. And they can also look us up on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Is there an act, George, that's, and it's not just music, because you deal with a lot of different stuff. You told me about a hypnotist you've got, which I thought was really cool.
Yes.
And I guess you met Kat through a dancer. Is that right? You said a dancer?
Well, we met her on Facebook, but she said her guy, James Dean, again, he's regarded as the number one hip-hop dancer in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
He's phenomenal, and he's on our website, by the way. Uh-huh. He was going to be in Burbank doing stuff with some of the movie studios. She said, would you mind having coffee or tea with him? So my wife and I said, sure. So we drove up from Laguna and just really hit it off with this kid, you know.
Oh, cool.
And then everything kind of came together with Kat after that.
And so, but my point, I guess, was that you're not just limited to music, but no. Since this is Music of America podcast, it's kind of what I want to focus on. But if somebody in Danbury, Iowa, or Council Bluffs, Georgia, wanted to get hooked up with you somehow, just through the website, Facebook, LinkedIn, any one of those, are there I don't know how to say this without sounding wrong. Do you have prerequisites, I guess, that of what you expect from somebody?
Well, we're getting like anybody we work with, from music attorneys to record labels. A lot of it, like Kat Thompson has her own recording studio.
Yeah.
Does all her own music and all her own music videos. She doesn't need production from any label. Mm-hmm. So the labels we're talking to, it's just distribution, marketing, PR, things like that. We have our own PR firm we work with too. Mm-hmm. Sylvia Kai, she's amazing. But, you know, we try to focus on what's best for that artist. What do they need? Because things are different now. It's not like just come to a record label and get signed and they do everything and you give away half your life, by the way. Now it's bifurcated where a lot of these artists can do a lot of it themselves. So we have to pick that apart, understand what they're doing, and see if they have numbers. You got to have numbers these days. You got to have Spotify numbers and you got to get YouTube. And if you don't, you got to get them. You got to get them up, because otherwise nobody will talk to you. So, but we understand that. And then we try to help. We don't charge for anything unless an artist makes money.
Right.
And we take a percentage. We're very rare like that.
There's a good friend of mine, Dave Keller, that won R&B Male Vocalist of the Year awards. He's won so many awards, and he could do so much more if he would play the game, but he doesn't. He says, I don't watch my Spotify numbers, my YouTube numbers. I go out and do shows, man. I just dig it. I have fun. And he's a great entertainer. He's outstanding. He's been doing it for probably 40 years. And it's just so much fun. Gets so much energy. He's so talented, but he won't play the game, you know?
Right.
And as a result of that, he's won some awards, but he's not as big as he could be. He could be touring all over Europe every year if he wanted to, especially now that his kids are out of school, you know?
Right. Well, you know, everyone does this for passion.
Yeah.
And we try to take the passion and try to turn it into dollars.
There you go. Because
it's a lot easier to succeed if you have some dollars behind you, and especially when you want to go on tour and you're paying for your own tour.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it becomes really real. How do I get from Des Moines to Peoria?
Exactly.
With six people. You know?
So. Right. Well, one way is to stop in St. Louis, crash at my house. I make a really good brisket. George, thank you so much, man. It's been a real blessing, and it's a great way to kick off Nevada. I'm so grateful for having you come on the show and bringing the guests with you that you brought. So thank you so much.
Thanks to you, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, again, thanks to George Schmidt, CEO, founder of Progressive Artist Management, here on the Music of America podcast. Join us tomorrow. Zach Johnson goes by Mr. Johnson, and we'll hear all about it tomorrow.
right here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast. Let's see how that sounds.